Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to this week's podcast. I'm Mick Clifford and we're here in the Irish Examiner. Now, in last Saturday's Irish Examiner, a series of articles were published written by our political correspondent, Ciara Phelan. They constituted an investigation into the life and times of the political family from Kerry, the Healy Rays. Now, I would say Michael and Danny Healy Ray, except the two TDs are not the only politicians in the family. Danny's son and daughter and Michael's son are all members of Kerry County Council. As one pundit has noted, the Healy Rays consist in political terms a party rather than a family. But what are they like? What are their politics? Do they all get on? What do the people of Kerry think of them? And what does their obvious success say about the state of Irish politics? And to be fair, I mean that in both a positive and a negative sense. Most observers of politics and those who earn their crust in it and are representatives and all tend to have strong opinions about the Healy Rays, and those opinions can be positive or negative. But to be fair, the truth of these matters usually lie somewhere in the middle when there is polarised opinion. Anyway, we decided to invite Ciara on to tell all she knows, and we'll indulge in a few choice clips of the brothers in action in the Dáil as we go along. Ciara, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Mick.
Ciara, you mentioned just before we began recording, you mentioned you obviously, as a Pol Car, you're sometimes on international duty, and I think you found yourself, I'm not sure, what was it, with Heather Humphreys or whoever it was, in China, and then a few days later, you found yourself sitting at the Healy Rays bar in Kilgarvan. Which was more surreal?
That was it. It was Tánaiste Micheál Martin that was in China, right. Mick. Oh, I tell you, like you've mentioned there, I was Christmas week, I was sitting in the pub in Kilgarvan, and only a short time ago, I'd been in Korea and China, covering the Taoiseach's visit in Korea and the Tánaiste in China, and I just thought to myself when I was sitting in the pub, I was like, this has been a few interesting weeks working
absolutely
as a political correspondent.
Yeah. Okay, and you were down there, and just a few things. We mentioned the family pub, famous, of course, because I'll deal with it in a minute, but there's a history with the Healy Rays in terms of their political pedigree. But Danny, I found it interesting. You mentioned it. Great pieces, by the way, Ciara, that were in the paper. That's what attracted me to it. They were so well written and interesting. But you mentioned early on that the two brothers, and people are often fascinated by the relationship between them, but that they meet in the family pub every Sunday evening to talk politics, but not business, and no drink is taken at this meeting on a Sunday evening.
Yeah, just to give your listeners an idea, Mick, they were very accommodating in terms of getting down to Kerry to speak to them, but it only was ever going to work out Christmas week. And the reason being, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they have to be in the Dáil. And on a Monday and a Friday, they spend their time on the road all day, every day, going across the kingdom, that is Kerry, to speak and meet as many as constituents as possible. So that's why I got down Christmas week. And when you speak to people locally, as I did in Kerry over the course of 2 days, something that came up and something that you'd often hear in Leinster House is whether the brothers actually really get on with one another, because you would see at times in the Dáil that they would vote differently. And a lot of people would say, you know, or they'd put on an act, that they're this close bond, this relationship. And I wanted to get to the bottom of it, whether this was actually the case or behind closed doors, were they frenemies, we'll say. So I experienced it myself. I saw how many times their phones rang in the middle of interviews. I lost count. I was trying to keep count on a piece of paper with a pen, trying to help as many constituents as possible. And when I did ask Michael about his relationship and, you know, that speculation, he was the one that said, you know, the only time that we actually sit down together is on a Sunday night to watch the repeat of The Week in Politics, which is broadcast on a Sunday, because they're so busy, like I said, meeting constituents, and as I outlined in our own paper, that they have many other businesses that they need to see to as well. And you know, both of the brothers were very clear and said, you know, we're not joined at the hip. I think Danny said to me, we don't get into the bed with one another, you know, but they talk politics, but they do not talk business. And that's because both men have a plant hire company. And even, you know, I spoke to Danny about, you know, he brought up how he voted differently in the Dáil to his brother Michael on the extension of the eviction ban, which was interesting because Danny isn't a landlord, but Michael is. And Michael voted to extend the eviction ban. And during the time when this conversation was ongoing in Leinster House and in the news, one of the arguments being put forward was that, you know, landlords wouldn't benefit from the extension of the eviction ban. However, Danny, who is not the landlord, he voted to lift it. So he was given an insight there in how they vote differently. They were at pains to say on the fundamental issues such as abortion and assisted dying, they're very much on the same page. And climate change, as is actually their children as well.
Yeah, that what you mentioned was interesting, all right, Ciara. I mean, as you say, Michael, the landlord, voted in a manner that would be contrary to what people's perceptions of what a landlord in that instance would have voted. And yet Danny, who isn't the landlord, voted in a manner that would be contrary to what people's general perceptions would have been those who aren't landlords. So, people can read what they want to into that, and I'm sure the two men, and they're honourable men, will both say they simply both voted with their conscience in that respect. Anyway, as I say, they're not the only politicians. Next generation, Danny's son Johnny, and his daughter Maura, and Michael's son Jackie. The three of them are all councillors, and am I right here? They're councillors in different electoral districts.
Yeah, three different constituencies across Kerry. Now, there was, when I was doing my research, you know, people were talking to me about, oh, there's political rivalry there as well in terms of popularity. They all do very well in the polls locally. All three moved to dismiss that, you know, there was any political rivalry, and there couldn't really be because they're in different constituencies. But whether they get on or are they close, together, there is obviously an age gap. You know, Jackie Jr., who is Michael Healy-Rae's son, is 28 years of age. His cousin, Johnny Healy-Rae, who is Danny's son, there's 10 years in the difference there, and just less than 10 years in difference between Michael's son, Jackie Jr., and Maura, who is Danny's daughter. So there's three of them there. Definitely all ambitious about a career in the Dáil, but I got the impression speaking to Maura Healy-Rae, who's Danny's daughter, that she would probably be the one that would take a shot at the Dáil when her father, Danny, decides to step away. And as Jackie Jr., who is Michael's son, said quite blatantly to me that, you know, he's ambitious, he's really happy at the moment on Kerry County Council. He's only been a councillor for the first time since 2019, and all three will be looking to retain their seats come in the next local elections this summer. But it's clear as well that he's quite ambitious, and he does see himself in the Dáil in the future, but only when his father steps away. And I asked Michael Healy-Rae, you know, is there a space for a third Healy-Rae in the Dáil, given that, you know, you do have three other potential candidates back at home in Kerry? And he was clear as day and said, no, we will continue to split constituency like we have done between Danny and Michael, and you'll go out to the public, the voters, and say, you give me number one and then give Danny number two, and vice versa.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out, Ciara. As you said, there's five seats in Kerry. Who's to know whether they could hold all five? Because there's no question in the world they are assiduous constituency workers, and they are certainly, I think it's fair to say, in tune with the most immediate perception of needs that constituents have. And we can come back to that idea of what exactly TDs do for constituents, but certainly in terms of what's expected or required of the TDs locally, there's absolutely no question they're very good at that. Just a brief bit of history, I suppose, for some of our listeners, particularly the younger ones who may not be aware, the beginnings of this dynasty, so to speak. Their father, Jackie Healy Ray, of course, was something of a, I don't know if legendary the right word, but certainly a very high profile and outstanding in his own way, a figure in Irish politics. He had long been involved in Fianna Fáil in Kerry throughout all his life, been regarded, as I understand it, as a major constituency worker on behalf of the party in that. And then, I think it was the 97 election, he believed his time had come to actually stand for the Dáil. He'd been a long-time councillor. And the party, and they were getting very centrally controlled at the time, felt otherwise. And I think it's an interesting thing in terms of Fianna Fáil. They're no longer the power they were, but at that time they were far and away the biggest party in the country. And I think they probably would have accepted later that they made a mistake. And their mistake was that perhaps they thought, because of Jackie's, I suppose you could call it, eccentric qualities, perhaps he wouldn't be as electable in Kerry as others thought. And they were already running John O'Donoghue, who was considered to be a very high profile figure, went on to be Minister for Justice and Ceann Comhairle. And he was from South Kerry as well as Jackie. So in their wisdom, they decided, it would appear, even though ultimately it was done in votes, but I think a lot of it was directed from head office, that Jackie would not be getting on the ticket. And they thought Jackie would retreat into the undergrowth and nurse his wounds and come back for the party some other day. Jackie thought otherwise. He decided he was going to stand as independent. Against what people perceived as the odds, he actually got in. And not only that, the arithmetic of the Dáil was such that he was able to get a deal whereby himself and I think it was three other independents, I think they described themselves as the four wheels in the coalition at the time, it was the Fianna Fáil Progressive Democrat coalition. He had a certain amount of power to that extent. He had a certain amount of pull within the government, and he was able to use that phrase, to deliver for his constituents. And at one stage, there was great rivalry in South Kerry between himself and John O'Donoghue, who was the senior minister, as to who was responsible for bringing various goodies, if you want to call them, or measures or developments to the area. So that was Jackie. He was elected then again in 02. In 07, he was elected again. And again, at that point, he found himself in a very good position in that the coalition that was in there at that time needed a hand from. So once again, he had a certain amount of pull. And all this time, Michael was the first one who was coming up through the council. And then Jackie retired, I think it was 2011, and Michael was the first to take over. And then Danny came on board. And again, I think people probably underestimated their attraction to the voters in Kerry, because they actually got two in. And I'll tell you one thing, people might have underestimated things then, but there'd be no dislodging them from here on in, I would suggest, certainly in the near future. And as we say, there's another generation waiting to take up the slack underneath them. Ciara, one thing that I suppose some people, particularly those who might view politics as entirely through the lens of bettering society for people in general, rather than perhaps delivering, as we might call it, some people might ask, what exactly do they stand for? Do they have any positions on that would put them in any particular position along the political spectrum?
So when you ask them, you know, what do they represent, they say that they don't represent party policies. So you have to remember, they're part of the rural independent group. So there are a number of other individuals in that group, you know, from across the country. Matty McGrath being one from Tipperary, Richard O'Donoghue from Limerick, Carl Nolan as well from Offaly Leash. So there's a few of them. And what Michael would say is that, you know, they're independent thinkers, and that they don't represent party policies, but instead represent people. And that's, like you mentioned, Mick, that's how they will continue to be voted continuously into the Dáil down in Kerry, because no matter what it is, Michael Healy-Rae and Danny Healy-Rae will do whatever it takes to get a vote from their constituent. And you do see sometimes on certain issues that they do speak out of what I would say both sides of their mouths on a lot of issues. You know, one being, I suppose, immigration, particularly for Michael. You know, the independent group put down a Dáil motion before Christmas about placing a cap on the number of refugees that are coming into the country. Now, Michael Healy-Rae receives over €500,000 to date as a result of a contract that he got with the state to house Ukrainians in one of his properties that he has in Kerry. And just to say, over 20, in the region of 20 properties he owns across Kerry. And, you know, when I put that to him, you know, is it credible for you to stand up and say, oh, we want to cap on refugees, when you're also taking money from the government to house Ukrainians? He, in our interview, he did get quite defensive. And, he, you know, he said, are you calling me, am I supposed to be a racist? So I offer accommodation to students. I offer, you know, accommodation to people who are on HAP. And are you telling me then that I shouldn't be offering accommodation to Ukrainians? So they will avoid answering the question straight down the middle in a true form as a politician. But there's probably a lot of people that they're representing in their constituents who may not want to voice their opinion on the immigration issue as well. Now, you'll have a lot of people in Kerry who are represented by other TDs who say, you know, want to welcome as many immigrants into the country as possible, and everything that they do for the country in terms of propping up our public services as well. And then, you know, you have to wonder, Mick, you know, a lot, and Danny in particular takes a lot of criticism for his comments that he makes on climate change too. But do people in Kerry really care about their views on those issues when they know that if they're in a bit of bother and anything, that they can pick up the phone and ring Michael Healy-Rae or Danny Healy-Rae and the issue will more than likely be sorted for them within a matter of days? And I think that's what politics comes down to. And it's, do people, they may not agree with their views, but if you need a job done, I'm telling you, Michael Healy-Rae and Danny Healy-Rae tend to get it done for their constituents. I'll just give you an idea. So I would ring Michael Healy-Rae a lot, and I did so over the course of, you know, planning to go down to Kerry and to do these interviews. And if he doesn't answer the phone, he will ring you back. But there must be some system in place he has in his office where someone that's working for him will ring back. It could be an hour later, it might be the next day, and say, I've a missed call on the phone from you here. Sorry, Michael couldn't get to the phone. What can we do for you? And at that person doesn't know that I'm a journalist looking to speak to Michael Healy-Rae. When I was interviewing Danny, I sat down with him for an hour in the lounge of his pub in front of a roaring fire, and his phone rang 19 times, and it was people looking for help off him. And he said, yeah, I'll be able to. And he took the phone calls and didn't mind interrupting the interview, because at the end of the day, that's the bread and butter for him, are these votes. And yeah, he said to numerous people that he took calls for, I'll be able to sort it out for you. And, you know, I did speak to Danny about, you know, a charge has often been thrown at him by some politicians in the Dáil that would say that he's a fool. And, you know, he said, I'm no fool. And maybe because I haven't got a certain level of education, people take me for granted, but I'm no fool. And I, to be honest with you, I remember going back a couple of months ago, even before I did this interview, I met him on the plinth in Leinster House. And for your listeners, that's where a lot of the politicians would come out and speak to the media. And I asked him to take down my number so he'd know when I was giving him a call. And I called out my number to him and he didn't take it down. And I was standing talking to him for a few minutes and I just said to myself, oh, you know, he's not even after taking the number down. And I said, take out your pen and paper, write down my number, put it into your phone so you have it. He called back my number to me. Now, I wouldn't be able to do that. If you called out your mobile number to me, I wouldn't be able to call it back to you in 15, 20 minutes after talking. So that just gives you an idea of the type that the two politicians that, you know, we're dealing with, and they're essentially, what they say is, and what Danny would have said is, you know, I'm just doing what my father Jackie did years ago, and that's representing people and being loyal to people and helping people. And they feel like what they say is it's a vocation and that's what they want to do.
Yeah, it's a particular type of politics. Just a couple of things. I mean, you mentioned there about, I'll just deal with it in a minute, but Michael's extensive property portfolio. As you say, he does house a number of people fleeing the war in Ukraine. He does not house, and I think you made this point in your article, international protection people, which is an interesting distinction, particularly as, and I think this has become more obvious in some parts of the country over the last 6 months or so, that the people, unfortunately, but this may be human nature, you can ascribe it to any number of things, are not as welcoming of international protection people as the are of Ukrainians, and you can read what you want to into that. The second thing is, you mentioned about people down in Kerry not worrying about the great issues of the day when they have a TD like this on their doorstep, Kieran. I have to say, I take serious exception to that, being from Kerry myself. The notion that Kerry people are not interested in the great issues of the day is an abomination. But being more serious about it, I think what you're saying is absolutely correct. The caveat I'd put in it is it's not confined to Kerry. I think you'll find that, including, most famously, in the centre of Dublin with one of the great constituency politicians of our time, Bertie Ahern. The only difference with Kerry is, as another politician put it very eloquently once, it suffers from the curse of peripherality. Anyway, none of that's neither here nor there. But yeah, it's a very interesting point you make there.
To know what's really happening, subscribe to the Irish Examiner today at irishexaminer.com/subscribe.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Now, there's another thing I want to come to, and we're just going to play a clip here. And this is a clip people may or may not have heard, but it's an interesting one. And this is from the Dáil when it was sitting in the convention centre during COVID. And the clip we're playing is of Labour Party TD Duncan Smith. And he's responding to contributions from both Healy Rays in a debate about proposed legislation over, I suppose, what you might call a lockdown measure for workers. And I think Duncan Smith was... he took exception, I think, with how the Healy Rays were portraying individuals from the Labour Party and others and how they were portraying themselves. Have a listen anyway.
But what really got me in this debate today was the contributions from the Healy Rays, both of them. And I'm absolutely disgusted because it hit me personally. Usually what they say is water off a duck's back to most of us, to all of us in this house. But they mentioned they had to go to the Labour Party, this relevance, that. But they said that we didn't understand working people. And said we didn't understand a carpenter coming to the house to have to fix a job. Well, I'm the son of a carpenter. I'm not the son of Fianna Fáil privilege and millions of euro. I remember as a kid in the 80s having to take any work going, hanging doors and fingers just to put a roof over our head and food on the table. I remember that. I spent my teenage years working on sites, filling skips. Today, Or are they driving their Mercedes into their big plant hire shops, walking past all their machineries worth hundreds of thousands to count all their money? Or to count up all their property? You had your chance. You had your chance. Sit down, Deputy. Chair, I did not. I did not come in.
Deputy
I did not
Smith,
come in.
Deputy Smith has the floor. Please let him conclude.
I have the floor. So I'm not going to be lectured on understanding workers. I don't have to put on a political costume and a caricature to pretend I'm working class like some. They do. Right? This is a pro-worker motion. If they read it, if they understood, if they took 1 second to remove themselves from their own regressive politics to see that this position is about a strong public health response to get people back to work and to stay in work, to get schools open and for them to stay open. That's what this is about. And that's where the opposition is at. And I don't think the government are too far away either. But we need to meet in the middle and we need to get this through. We need to keep this virus down. That's how things will get open. So the next time we have a motion or anything, I'll happily sit down or have a Zoom call and explain to them what it stands for, because they never read it. They're pursuing a narrow, regressive, conservative agenda all the time. It lets down the people of Kerry who they profess to represent, and it lets down working people. This is a pro-workers motion. Everything we put through is pro-workers, and we will work together, and we will admit when we're wrong, and we will move forward.
Yeah, that was Duncan Smith from the Labour Party. As I say, Ciara, it was an interesting contribution. And one certain thing I took from it, the Healy Rays and their wealth, and there's no doubt, I think, and Duncan Smith made this point, that they would prefer the image of being, hardy sons of the soil trying to scrape a few bob together rather than, as he describes them, millionaires. And in that vein, Michael has listed, I think it's 24 properties or holdings in the register of interest. And Danny has a number of interests as well, including a plant hire company that last year made over 1 million in profit. And yet they both, I think they were quite forceful in suggesting to you that were not wealthy men at all.
I think a lot of people, when they probably read our front page last week, it would really annoy them because, despite what Michael said, that he said his small business was struggling, and what he was alluding to there was his service station, essentially, and there's a post office inside, and I was in it, and it's, whatever you get in like a service station, you'd your deli counter and your coffees and your sweets, and there's an off license in it as well, and the post office is situated in the shop, and actually his office is out the back, and there was a decent footfall in and out over the 2 days that I was there. But essentially, Michael was saying that, his business is struggling. He employs 17 people there, speaking about the costs, the increase in costs that every businesses are experiencing in terms of energy costs. And essentially, the service station, it had a loss of just under €100,000 in 2022. However, his plant hire business, there was profits of just under €700,000. Now, he has in the region of 20 properties across Kerry, and that's, like I mentioned, he's rental properties for student accommodation, for couples, for and Ukrainians as well. So he is, taking in money there in terms of the properties. And when you see it laid out in black and white of his assets at a glance, it's very hard to believe what he said in terms of, essentially saying he's not a millionaire and he's not, essentially flush with all of this cash. In saying that, a lot of people and the Healy Rays argued, there's X amount of money on paper, but it's not really in their back pocket. That's something that Danny repeatedly said to me. They both denied categorically that they were millionaires and they weren't falling down with money, essentially. And Michael got quite irritated when I put put it to him that, you know, he basically has said when people come to speak to him about issues that they have, sure, aren't the issues that you would have had yourself. And, you know, the pedigree that we've spoken about, Jackie Healy Ray and the businesses that they had years ago, you know, the money to sort to set up these businesses that both brothers have didn't come from nowhere, you know. So a lot of people would say that, and they both argue themselves, they worked for everything that they have now, and they don't deny that. But, you know, there has to be some support behind you somewhere. And when he spoke to me about, you know, constituencies coming to speak to him about issues that they have, when I put it to him that, you know, you've never been on the breadline or you've never faced sleeping rough, he did again kind of get quite agitated, and he went back to a time where he said that he used to sleep in a caravan while working in forestry. Obviously, again, his salary that he earns as a TD is, you know, just under €100,000 or thereabouts. And, you know, they also get significant allowances, as does every TD, for their travel and accommodation while they're up and down to the Dáil every week. Danny is the same. You know, he like you mentioned, his plant hire was profitable in 2022, over €1 million. And he was at pains to say that, like, that is a success, but he gave the credit to his two sons that run the plant hire business. It doesn't seem that he has a major role in the day-to-day workings of that business. He does have the pub, like I mentioned, we were sitting in. He said it doesn't generate a profit. It's not the same as it used to be. I thought it was really interesting. There was a cash only sign hanging up behind the bar. And he has a few contracts as well. You know, he has a contract with Busair, and this is Danny that I'm speaking of now, Kerry County Council for Irish Water. And Michael's the same. He's a number of contracts as well. They include a supply of diesel. And it's mentioned as well in the assets list that we put out about the contract he has with the state. They both also have shares. So Michael Healy Ray, he has shares in the New York Times, while Danny Healy Ray has shares in Kerry Group PLC, from milk processing and manufacturing of farm products. So it's very hard to argue with Duncan Smith in terms of the point that he was making, that how can you be the voice for the working class people when, you know, you have X amount of businesses and you're driving in your big cars, when in reality you don't really understand what working class people are going through at the moment. But the Healy Rays will argue we absolutely have an understanding of it, despite what money may be down on paper or in our back pockets.
Yeah, look, there's an element of silliness to it all, Ciara. Their father was a successful businessman. There's often been a scenario whereby just because an individual is a successful businessman, he hands over businesses to offsprings, they can run it into the ground, they can be no good at business, they can just not have the business instinct and wherewithal. That's not the case here. Both of them are obviously highly successful business people. I mean, Plantire over 1 million profit, 24 properties or holdings. You don't acquire that unless you're very good at business, and you don't own that and not be a very wealthy person. And this kind of carry on of we're only struggling by, and this business is losing this and what have you, it's very difficult to take. And it's just a pity that they feel compelled to do so, and I presume they do that because they want to project themselves as ordinary people who can understand the struggles of people who might be on an average industrial wage or whatever. But anyway, that's the nature of our politics. Just some of the quotes that were in the piece. I mean, I think you asked Danny about Michael in business and response. Michael is a landlord, I hear. I mean, he heard that, did he, somewhere? Yeah. He didn't know anything about it. And then Michael, you ask him how many properties he has. I'd have a good share of properties. And you ask how many. That's the answer I'm giving you. Sure, it's public record on the Register of Interest. And he knows that too. But it's nearly as if the thought of him saying it himself, how many properties he have, wouldn't be good for his image. So he comes out with that kind of, and I have to call it raw mate. There's no other way of expressing it. They're successful businessmen, and fair play to them for being successful. They're quite obviously very good, and I'm sure they employ a lot of people, and good luck to them. But portraying themselves in that kind of light is a bit... it's a bit silly. Now, I have another clip here, and this is an interesting one. This was an exchange between Michael Healy Ray in the Dáil with Leo Varadkar in 2022, when Mr. Varadkar was tarnished. And it goes some ways to illustrating aspects of the, I suppose you might call the Healy Ray brand. Have a listen to this.
And the one thing that I want to take one and tarnish it. When you said you got a little dig, you said, did I understand the answer that you gave to Deputy MacDonald and others? I'll say one thing to you clearly in this House. When it comes to understanding the electorate of Ireland, when it comes to understanding the people, what they want, what they require, the people can look at you and listen to you, or they can look at me and listen to me, and let the people decide who they think is more in tune with what the people of Ireland require.
Thank you, Deputy.
Because when I hear some of the nonsense that you come out with, my goodness, you're no man to look down your nose at me as if I'm something that you stood up on top of. I'm elected here every bit as good as you
Thank
are.
Thank you, Deputy.
And you know, maybe a lot better than you are. But the funny thing about it is, I wouldn't dare to look down my nose at you or anyone else because I don't do that. But maybe you do because
Thank
you're
you,
a bit
Deputy,
of a big shot.
Now
but like I say, off we do with the airy fairies and see how far it will get you.
Thank
but you,
you
can be sure of one thing, it's not a nice thing to look down your nose at me and say what you said to me a while ago.
Punished it.
Not nice.
And it's not nice what you said to me either, Deputy, just there, quite frankly. Reflect on it and think about it. Just think about what you said, okay? But think about what you said. Think about what you said.
What I said? No,
reflect on it, think about it, come back here tomorrow or the next day and take it back if you want to. Deputy, the truth is you look down on me. You think that because I'm from Dublin, because I'm middle class, because I don't talk the way you talk and I have the accent that I have, that somehow I don't understand real people. Well, you're wrong, Deputy. I'm elected just as much as you are. Everyone in this House has a mandate. We have a mandate because real people elect us, and that's precisely why we stand here. And Deputy, I know as well as you do that you had the opportunity to serve in government. I was there in 2016. When the opportunity was there for you to serve in government, for you to be a cabinet minister, and you turned it down because the truth is you'd rather come in here and make personalised digs about people in government than actually have to make hard decisions that might cost you a few votes.
That might actually cost you a few votes in Kerry,
because if you did enter government as an independent, you would have to make hard decisions, and just like every independent who enters government, you would lose votes, and that's why you run a mile from government, and that's exactly what you did in 2016.
That was interesting again, Ciara. I suppose, first of all, Leo Varadkar, I think it's fair to say, was perturbed by the phrase airy fairy, and that was on the basis that, you know, we know certainly historically, I don't know if it's still the case, an awful derogatory term for gay men is the phrase fairy has been used, and obviously, Leo was suggesting that there was some implication there. But I think, to be fair to Michael Healy-Ray, he wasn't having an underhand dig or anything in that sense. I think he was genuinely talking in what would be familiar vernacular for him, and he didn't mean anything by it. But that's just my opinion, but to be fair to him. But Varadkar did make an interesting point about this sort of thing of Michael presenting himself as the... You know, the son of the soil who's looked down on by the city slickers, but that in reality, and I think Varadkar's onto something here, that there's elements of Michael's persona that he looks down his nose at the likes of Varadkar simply because Varadkar comes from Dublin, he speaks with a neutral Dublin accent, and that therefore he's somehow not attuned to the plain people of Ireland as Michael would consider himself to be, which I think Leo Varadkar has a point there in terms of how things are portrayed. It's astute observation. A more interesting one, though, Ciara, was that he made the point, Leo Varadkar, about in 2016 that Michael Healy-Ray had the opportunity to go into government and, you know, suggesting that he didn't do so on the basis that he would perceive that if he was in government, he may have to make some difficult decisions which could cost him votes, and that was the only thing he was interested in, rather than the possibility of effecting change through wielding power in a government. And we've seen in not the last government, I think it was, the likes of Shane Ross and Dennis Nocton, and Nocton is from a rural constituency himself, were independents who went into government. And those two individuals, they certainly made a splash anyway. They made some changes. But I think it's fair to say that the Healy Rays don't appear to have any interest in wielding power in that respect.
Yeah, you're nail on the head, Mick. I don't think either Danny or Michael have any interest in actually being in government. I think they're happy enough up in the Dáil being representatives for their community and essentially wanting, in order to stay in the Dáil as long as they can. And as Boat had said to me, that they won't leave until basically they can't go anymore. That to be seen in the chamber and what they say, to be a voice for those who, like you mentioned, you know, you're right, and perhaps Leo of Record is correct as well, in the sense that Michael has, whether he believes it or not, but he tries to portray that, you know, some of the politicians in Dublin and Leo of Radcliffe don't have a clue, particularly Eamon Ryan, don't have a clue about anyone or their lives outside of Dublin. And I think that both the Healy Rays would be happy enough to continue to say that in the Dáil and continue to just represent their communities and be on a public forum for as long as they can without having to go into government. Because like you said, when you go into a coalition government, you're never going to get everything that you want, and there's give and take. And perhaps that it would damage them potentially, because if there was any significant changes and made on, we'll say, housing or even immigration, they'd be answerable then. They'd have to be held accountable, and they're able to avoid that in opposition.
Yeah, and I suppose, to be fair to them, they wouldn't be alone in that. And some people would suggest there might even be some of the smaller parties would have a similar attitude to government, that it's that they prefer to be on the outside, to use that phrase, signalling virtue, rather than on the inside affecting change. But that is another thing. I think it's fair to ask that question about the likes of the Healy Rays, because they are something of a force there to some extent. Now, we touched on immigration as one of the issues, and as you pointed out, Ciara, there certainly are questions to answer in terms of their apparent, some apparent contradictions in that respect. One other issue, some people would suggest, existential issue of our times, is climate change. And Danny in particular has a unique take on the what is driving climate change, and he let us in on this secret, if you want to call it that, in a debate in 2016. Very short clip here, just have a listen to this.
I believe that God above is in charge of the weather, and that we here can't do anything about it. We indeed, I will say to you, this last government didn't do the things they were supposed to do, not to mind attempting to regulate or rectify the weather. Of course, yes, one government minister suggested that we should have 3.5 million to put aside for to improve weather forecasting, but that won't change the weather.
Yeah, Ciara, there's another lovely quote in one of the pieces you wrote, where Danny Healy-Rae claimed that our little country and the people running it are gone mad when it comes to climate change. The poor cow is to blame for everything. So we have, let me see, God in opposition to the cow in terms of the issues around carbon emissions. Does Michael have a similar attitude to climate change?
He doesn't seem to be as quite forceful in his opinion as Danny is. He tends to shy away from it a little bit, kind of lets Danny take a stance on the climate argument. I remember speaking to him about it, it must have been a year or two ago, it was just as COVID ended, and we were out in the plinth as well, and there was something in the Dáil related to climate, and I did notice that Michael did stand back and let Danny speak a lot about, you know, climate change and their views on it. And with, look, Danny doesn't shy away from how he feels about climate change. When I was interviewing him, I asked him, do you not believe in it at all? And he just said, no. And I said, but how can you actually sit here and say that when we've seen the floods that we've witnessed, particularly in Cork, water around the country? And he said, right, I do believe in climate change, but I believe that climate change has been happening for a long, long time. And he said that, you know, how he feels is that any climate proposal or climate change proposal to try and stop it, he believes that the Irish people and the Irish government are forcing it upon the country to trial and test out. And, you know, he said some of the proposals with the to try to cut emissions. And he questions, why is our little country doing this when he's seen coal mines reopening in you know, Germany and other parts of the world? And essentially he said that he has travelled to America a good bit over the years, and he pointed out to, you know, the massive SUVs that are on the roads there, and, you know, what kind of proposals are China putting in place to ensure that they're reducing their emissions. And he believes that basically Ireland is at nothing doing anything at all in terms of trying to turn the corner or helping to turn the corner on climate change when other superpower countries are not doing, you know, what he believes that they should be doing. So he essentially believes that Ireland, you know, and government policy, we shouldn't really be looking at it at all when you have massive countries that are turning a blind eye to certain proposals. He did say, you know, he said there is merit, and he understands that we need to cut our carbon emissions. But he said, you know, for example, peat briquettes, we're bringing peat briquettes into the country from other European countries. And he was like, how does that make sense? So, you know, he tried to put as clear as day his argument forward to me. And to be quite honest with you, Mick, a lot of people would probably believe, would agree with him and believe what Danny says. You know, having said that, is that the right thing to do? Should we not be, you know, progressing as a country and doing everything that we can to do to basically play our part? And Danny believes, no, we shouldn't.
Yeah. And as you say, Ciara, it's not an isolated opinion. On one level, to be fair to him, he's straight up about his disbelief in the scientific evidence, which is an honest stand, if nothing else, because others who accept the science still don't want to do anything, and they talk around it, including some very successful business people. I can think of one or two. But anyway, and on the other hand, that argument that we're a small country and it doesn't matter what we do, others have that as well. No, I think both of them serious trouble when you put them up to the light in any moral sense. But, you know, they're not outliers in terms of opinion, and they're certainly entitled to view, and Danny's very much entitled to his view there. Tell me so, Ciara. I mean, finally, having spent time with them down there, how would you define them in terms of the as politicians, as people? Did you like them?
To be quite honest with you, Mick, like what we've spoken about in terms of the success of their businesses. Look, I don't like when you see Michael saying, you know, we're not millionaires or we don't have a lot of money and I'm struggling and I'm continuously in debt. Like, grand, if that's what you want to portray, I don't think it does him any justice, because people will only see through that given on paper we see all his assets. But you do have to probably admire them in some sense in terms of how successful they have been. They're getting continuously voted in and topping the poll for a reason. You know, many people in other constituencies across the country probably only wish that they could pick up the phone to their local TD and ask for their passport to be sorted overnight, or could you help me with X, Y, or Z? They're two different people in terms of Danny is really laid back, like, so are his kids. They're very similar. You know, I met Johnny as well, Danny's son, in the pub, and I spoke to Maura on the phone. She's a teacher in Cork. They're really laid back, very much like Danny. I find Danny, when you have a difficult conversation with him and you're putting, you know, controversial opinions to him that he has made and challenging him on them, he can answer. He's very relaxed in how he answers and tries to make his point. But I find Michael, when you do challenge him on issues, he does get quite irritated quite easily. It's forever like I shouldn't be asking him or challenging his viewpoints, you know, and he'd be the very person that would turn around and say, why didn't you challenge a minister or a government TD on it? He has, like I mentioned, a 28-year-old son, Jackie Jr., who was elected as a councillor for the first time. And I found it interesting when I was speaking to him, he said, you know, on polling day in 2019, he never felt pressure like it, because he would have been, if he didn't get elected, he would have been the first Healy Ray in over 20 years to lose an election. And the pressure of the name itself to carry on the political dynasty. He interestingly spoke, you know, which I thought was, he was quite forthcoming in the sense of, he said that he needs to learn a bit more from his father, who he believes is a little bit more empathetic in dealing with things. And sure, that comes with experience over the years. And he said that one of his own weaknesses, Jackie Jr., is that he's probably a little bit too blunt. And then I thought to myself, you couldn't be any more blunt than your father. But and then I found Johnny and Maura, Danny's kids, are quite relaxed, very, very like their father, you know, kind of say it as it is as well. And, you know, Maura in particular, when I asked her about, you know, sometimes your father's criticised about his choice of words, and she said, you know, maybe I wouldn't explain things the way he does, but you have to credit him for he's speaking his mind and not being afraid to do so. Danny, his home house is over the pub, so, and so was his office. And when I was sitting having an interview, and he came out with half sliced pan, buttered with tea and coffee for the photographer, was there while he was answering the phone to another constituent in his ear. I was in Michael's house for a short period while I was interviewing Jackie Jr. I interviewed Michael in Dublin, and I spent time with him in Kerry as well. And I was in his office, which I said was attached to the service station. His house is what I would categorise a lot more modern, probably than Danny's. Danny's is a real homely feel to it. The lounge and the bar itself, like I wrote in the piece, it's like I could have been back in time in the 60s when it first opened. There's a very homely feel to it. And I suppose, you know, coming away from it, and after spending the time with them, I see why people vote them in, because of the support that they do locally. You know, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you actually believe that, you know, or they don't have another interest as to why they're a TD, or, you know, the issue that we spoke about, you know, Michael voted one way in the extension of the eviction ban and Danny voted the other. A lot of people would say, oh, they do that purposely. And it's hard to distinguish that, because people will say, you know, they do it to protect one another if someone had an interest in one area, you know. But then is it the case that they're just speaking their mind? I suppose no one knows, only those two. It was very interesting. And I think the future of the Healy Rays as well is something to watch, particularly their views as well on certain issues, not only immigration and climate, but, you know, housing. And Danny's son, Johnny, in particular, very focused on access to healthcare and GP services in Kerry as well. So I don't think we're seeing the end of the Healy Ray dynasty after Danny or Michael. I think we'll definitely more than likely see the family name continue in the Dáil for a long, long time. And I just finally wrap up on this. This will give you an idea about how they try and get votes and speak to people. On the 9th of February, they have, my understanding is, rented out a ballroom in the Glen Eagle Hotel in Kilkenny. And it's free admission. And they've put on a dance for anyone that wants to come, and all members of the Healy Ray political family will be there. And it's to celebrate 50 years in politics of the Healy Rays. And I can guarantee it'll probably be a packed night.
I'd say it definitely will, Ciara. And I think your observations are spot on. I mean, whatever people may think of how they go about their business or what they consider to be the role of a TD, I don't think, for example, anybody could accuse them of being in it for the money, because obviously in terms of their business interests, they'd probably make more money if they weren't in politics. And that kind of makeup of politicians, there's an element of it, I believe, that they want to to help people in one way or another. There's also an element of it of they need the acclaim. I don't mean them, I mean politicians in general. All those things are very natural part of the makeup, but they are very interesting. I have had brief interactions with them, and what I know of them, there's a likeable quality as well, as you say. I mean, my take on it would be, if I had to be stuck on a desert island with one of them, I'd prefer it to be Danny. But if I wanted someone to get me off the desert island, I'd prefer it to be Michael. But that's a very amateur, and I hope it's not offensive in any way, opinion about them. But Ciara, very interesting. And, you know, it gives that human side of politics and that what you might call left of field take on politics that seems to be bread and butter for the Healy race. Ciara Phelan, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mick.
Great stuff, Ciara. Thanks. I'd also like to thank our man on engineering duties, Jim Collin. Thank you, folks, for listening. And we'll be back with you again next week. Take it handy.
On Formative, middle school kids from New York City public schools interview a phenomenal collection of grown-ups.
Me, like, I don't know what I want to do.
You don't have to have all the answers.
I feel like a lot of people's favorite topics are, like, interest in their life.
That is a really good answer.
The podcast where the leaders of today are interviewed by leaders of tomorrow. Listen now at newyorkedge.org/formative or wherever you get your podcasts.